The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back. It's another beautiful weekend in the month of September, and we are ready for our second segment, ready to talk some college football and go under the helmet with Jason Peter. He needs no introduction. He's on with us all throughout the college football season. Jason, it's great to have you back with us, and how are you doing? I hope you had a good birthday.
It was all right. I'll tell you what, as you get closer to, I don't want to say death, because I'd like to think that I'm a little bit farther away from that than some, but with each adding birthday, I think once you get over that 30-year mark, I don't know if you get so excited anymore.
Well, I don't like to talk about my age, but this past week I fractured my foot playing Lightning McQueen with my son in the house, and I've got this crick in my neck, so I'm certainly feeling a whole lot older, but we've got lots of things to talk about. Let's talk about, first of all, before we talk about the Big 12, the national news, Reggie Bush forfeiting his trophy after being found guilty of receiving illegal benefits while at USC. Agree or disagree? Talk to me, Jay.
Oh, I think it should have happened a long time ago. I think the only reason he did forfeit it was because he was kind of backed into a corner, and it wasn't looking good for him at all. And I think he realized that. But I think he was holding on for a while because he thought, or he was holding on to that little bit of hope that maybe somehow he could finagle his way out of this thing, and people would still look at him like he was this just great college athlete who didn't do anything wrong. I mean, you know, even when you read his apology, towards the end he admits to making mistakes, but he just doesn't come out and say, "I did this wrong. I apologize for lying." And I mean, he, I think, really, I don't know if in his head he thinks he didn't do anything wrong, that's just natural, that there's college athletes at every school that are doing it, and I'm sure there are kids doing it at some schools, but not every college athlete is doing it. There's a lot of them that are doing it right. But this whole process, this whole investigation into Reggie Bush has kind of been a joke. I mean, when did he win the Heisman? 2005, and here we are, 2010, and finally now, when the evidence has been out there for so long. I mean, it wasn't even a matter of the NCAA having to do so much investigating. I mean, there was stuff that was being run on Dateline and 48 Hours, where you have Reggie's stepfather talking about paying money back, and that Reggie's a good guy and he'll honor his debts or whatever. I mean, it was comical that it took so long, but I guess it's good that it's finally over. For Reggie, he's kind of been, I guess, erased almost from the USC history books. They've really, I guess, kind of made a point that they're not thrilled with the stuff that he did here. And I'm sure part of it is, you know, they're making sure that they're covering their own tail as well. I mean, they don't want to have this image that they condone guys living these Hollywood-type lives when they're on campus there.
Who do you point the finger at, though? I mean, is it Reggie Bush, or what about Pete Carroll? I mean, isn't he to blame for some of this, Jason Peter?
Oh, absolutely, Pete Carroll gets blamed. And I know that they've tried to question him as well, and he's a politician, like most of these guys are. I mean, they've had to deal with the media for so long that they know what to say. But for Pete Carroll to say he didn't have any idea, I mean, come on. Going back into the mid '90s, if I rolled up in a brand new car with new flashy rims and really nice clothes, Coach Osborne or Coach McBride or somebody would have pulled me aside and said, "Hey, is this stuff all legit here? Let's look into this to make sure that there's no problems here with the NCAA, just in case somebody's looking in from the outside." But for Pete Carroll to say, that he had no idea. I mean, come on. I'm a guy who just moved out, when I moved out to California and did a little high school coaching out there, I heard stories about some of the stuff that was going on there at USC. So if you're the head guy who's been there for years, how do you not know these things? I mean, if a kid from New Jersey is finding out these things within a few months of living in California and coaching high school football, how does the head guy of that program not know what possibly is going on?
Perhaps it was Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but Jason Peter is with us again this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. It is our Under the Helmet segment. Okay, so Vince Young, what about him? You know, he was second in voting with the Heisman in 2005. Should he receive this award? He is actually getting, I think, overwhelming support that there should be a winner for 2005 if it's not going to be Reggie Bush.
Right, and I like what Vince has done. I mean, he kind of went on, I guess, his Twitter account and said, hey, Reggie was an outstanding athlete, and, you know, he's not interested, I guess, in accepting the award, because the truth is that you don't really know for sure which way it would have went. I mean, you had another USC guy that was in the running, right? So what if everybody, some of the votes or the votes that Reggie Bush was getting, what if they went to Leinart? And, you know, I think if you look at that year and you count that bowl game, take that into consideration, certainly Vince Young. But I mean, I could understand from Vince, it's like, I don't want to accept this award just because, you know, something illegal was found out from Reggie Bush. I mean, I think the athlete, it very much is about being the best football player out there. And if they didn't recognize me as the best football player then I don't want to be recognized now. I don't want this pity award, you know, kind of bestowed on me. If I was to win the Heisman Trophy, then I wanted to win it back then. So I understand where he's coming from. It is a shame that there's not going to be a Heisman Trophy winner. I know there's been a lot of talk about Texas wanting that award. But I don't know. I understand where Vince is coming from.
Well, yeah, Mac Brown, he asked Vince Young to stand up and say that you want the Heisman. I mean, Jason, throughout your prolific career at the University of Nebraska, you were a finalist for, what, the Outland Trophy? I mean, several very, very big awards. How would you feel perhaps today if the person that had won those particular awards were found ineligible?
Well, the way that I handle it now is when people ask me about those awards, I tell them that I should have won those awards anyway. So it doesn't really matter. In my head, I look at myself as the Allen Trophy winner and the Bednarik or the Bronco Nagurski and the Defensive Player of the Year. Those are things that in my crazy little mind out here in Lincoln, Nebraska, I walk around my house and I tell myself that I won those awards. No, but I don't know how I would feel. You know, I could understand if there was an error in counting the votes or something like that. Then sure, I would say yeah. You know, if there was a mistake, if they counted the ballots, the same people that were counting the ballots in Florida for governor or whatever, or were counting the same ballots here for the Outland Trophy, then sure, then you know, give me my award if it's rightfully mine. But you know, if somebody found out some dirt on one of the winners of those awards, and I don't know how I would feel about accepting that. I'd probably do the same thing that Vince is doing, and I'd probably decline it, because I'd want to win that award because I want people to think or to have thought that I was the best player and I was the best candidate out of the three to represent that award.
Very well said. Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do need to take time to recognize our corporate sponsor, the friends at Western Company of Texas. Go to their website, wct.us.com. The other big national storyline this year was the TV reporter alleged with harassment, sexual harassment in the Jets locker room. What do you think about that? I mean, you were a first-round draft pick with the Carolina Panthers. What was your approach in dealing with female reporters in the locker room, Jason?
Well, I treated them no different. I really did. There were some very legit reporters that were in there, but then there's also kind of, you know, the one or two bad apples. And should they spoil it for all female reporters? No, I don't think that they should, because there's a lot that do their job well. But it was comical. I mean, you'd come in after a game and you'd see some of the women that were in there, and there'd usually be two or three kind of standing in a circle over there, and they'd be giggling and looking over their shoulder, and you know, they weren't in there for legit reasons. And you know, I think the teams just have to do their homework, and they have to make sure that the women that are in there are in there for the right reasons. And the same goes for the men. I mean, you know, now it's a completely different world than when I played. I mean, now the whole blogosphere has taken, I think, the media, the term media, to a whole different level. And you have a lot of these so-called bloggers that have thousands and thousands of followers, and just as many followers as, say, one of the beat writers who writes for the local paper. I mean, it's crazy the way that the media has changed. But you know, for this woman, this Inez Sainz, or I'm not sure how you pronounce her last name, I mean, there have been pictures shown of some of the things that she wears, and
pretty provocative.
It's like clothes were painted on her. I mean, you see these layouts that they do, say the Sports Illustrated swimsuit, where they paint on the bikinis. I mean, these are basically the same outfits that she's wearing. Very revealing. It doesn't seem like she's showing up showing up to work to actually work. I mean, you see her all the time when they show the media down at the Super Bowl, and you know, she carries herself in a very flirtatious way, and you know, she does stories or does little bits where, you know, you have some of these players that are actually, she's asking them to lift her over her head or put their hands on her, and that's mistake number one right there. I mean, honestly, I mean, is this, are you actually reporting, or are you actually trying to do work? Or,
right.
Or are you trying to find yourself a boyfriend, or what's the deal here? So with her, I think you do have to take the track record into consideration. And with her, it doesn't look favorable for her.
Well, I know the men's locker room, it's not your traditional workplace. And, you know, Christine Brenner wrote a wonderful article about just how diverse, you know, women's sports reporting is and how much it has changed. But you don't want someone to be harassed or to feel uncomfortable in there. But I'm curious, when George Seifert was your coach with the Carolina Panthers, did they talk to you guys about how to handle yourselves in the locker room, even if a gal should come in there, a female reporter, and she isn't dressed perhaps, you know, appropriately?
No, you know, we never, not that I can recall, and sometimes my brain doesn't work as good, I think, from some of the hits that I've taken, but I don't ever recall there being a meeting or us having somebody speak to us about having women in the locker room. You know, I haven't been in a professional locker room lately, so I'm not sure as to how many women are there now compared to you know, back in early 2000s. But you know, I'm sure it's something now that after this whole incident with the Jets, that all NFL teams will be reminded of some of the policies and the way that they should go about it. And I'm sure the teams themselves are going to make it maybe a little bit more difficult to get that credential.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Go to his website, jasonpeter.com. He's getting ready for his big celebrity golf tournament out there in Lincoln, Nebraska. And let's talk about your Huskers. First of all, their big test this weekend against Washington. It's going to be on the road. The Huskies are a much improved team. They have won 6 of their last 8 home games. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think everybody here is taking it for granted that Nebraska is going to win this game. I think people are excited because they're finally playing a team that has some national name recognition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think when you play Western Kentucky and you play Idaho, lots of times you tend to maybe think that your team is better than they really are. You know, you're looking at two teams that I think, you know, a lot of schools, they schedule these types of teams in the beginning of the year to kind of work the kinks out, and then, you know, you go and you play a team like Washington, or you play a bigger non-conference opponent. But I think for the fans of Nebraska, I think what they've been able to see with the young kid at quarterback, Taylor Martinez, and some of the things that he's been able to do against those two defenses, I think people are crazy if they think that he's going to go and have that same type of performance against a school like Washington. Now, I'm not saying Washington is you know, the next coming of USC in the 2000s, but they're going to be a lot better and a lot more athletic and a lot stronger on that defensive side of the ball than, say, a Western Kentucky is. So, you know, the things that he'll see in terms of disguising coverages and blitz packages and all that stuff. I mean, Nick Holt is a guy that ran USC's defense for a long time. I mean, this is a guy who needs no introduction as well. I mean, he's a guy that a lot of schools wanted as a head coach, and Sarkisian was able to bring him up there to Seattle. And you know, he's rattled more than his fair share of young quarterbacks. And, you know, you got to take into consideration as well going on the road. I remember when last year Nebraska packed their bags and went out to Virginia Tech for the first time.
Right.
And Lane Stadium is considered one of the loudest and craziest. And people are saying, oh, exactly, he's not going to have a problem out there. And, you know, he'll perform the same way he did in these first two games that we had here at home. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me, because these hostile environments, they affect the best. They affect the best of them. I mean, for a young guy to go out on the road and to play in an environment like Washington, I mean, we played there in 1997, and you know, there was certainly a good number of Nebraska fans in there, but it's a loud stadium. You've got basically the stadium goes straight up on either side. You've got the water, the sound that's on the one end of the field, and the other end is kind of horseshoed in, and the sound just seems to radiate throughout the entire stadium, and it gets stuck in there. It's got nowhere to go. It tries to go out by the water, and it gets reflected back in. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles himself.
Nebraska at Washington on Saturday. Here you have highlighted a little bit of in terms of scouting Nebraska's offense, but obviously the keys to the game is containing Jake Locker. He's a veteran quarterback, has a big arm, and he can be equally as dangerous on his feet. Talk about him and Washington. I mean, he's their go-to guy.
It's really going to be interesting, because I think you look at a kid like Locker, who many are talking about being the number one draft pick. A lot of people were talking, if he had come out last year, that maybe he would fight Sam Bradford for the number one spot. Well, he ends up staying, and you know, I don't think, when you look at the first two games that they've played, the loss against BYU and then beating Syracuse, that he had, I don't think he had one of his better games. I think they're hoping that he's going to finally come out and show everybody some of the things that they were talking about him doing last year. Now, for Nebraska, he's certainly going to be the best quarterback that they've faced up to this point. But when you talk about Nebraska's defense, and I thought this last year, except there was so much attention given to Ndamukong Suh and that defensive line up front, but for me, the shining stars last year was the secondary, and they did a tremendous job with shutting down the receivers and giving that defensive line extra time to get to the quarterback, and they really let Bo and Carl Pelini not have to dial up blitzes every time they wanted to get pressure. Well, it's pretty much the same guys back for this year's team in the secondary. And from what I've seen so far, and I normally wouldn't make statements like I'm going to just because the only teams that they've played so far are Western Kentucky and Idaho, but for the most part, like I said, it's the same secondary as last year. But I think when you talk about greatness, I don't like the list, you know, this is number one or number two. I think you get to a level where you're above and beyond, say, just the good teams or the good players, and you get into this category of great. I think this secondary is in that category. I think they have so much athleticism and speed and playmaking ability. I mean, that's something that you just can't teach. I mean, you got some of these guys that just know. They know how to bait a quarterback. They know how to tackle. When they tackle, they strip the ball. And it's something that I think you either got it or you don't. And these guys, they got it. So for Locker, I think he's going to have his hands full with the secondary.
Has that been perhaps the biggest surprise since you've been out watching the Huskers so far this season?
I don't know if I'm surprised by it. I think for me, they were the area that I didn't have any concern at all about. I think for me, the biggest, I guess, question mark still is, how's this defensive line going to be? Because last year with Big Sue in the middle, there were lots of teams that said, we're not even going to try to run the ball. And when you looked at the first two games this year, some of those teams, they both kind of had some success running the ball. And Western Kentucky had some success running the ball right up the middle. A lot of it was cutbacks. But, you know, you got to take care of your business in the middle there. And I think now, without Sue there, I think some offensive coordinators might say, let's take a shot. I mean, I thought teams should have done that last year against Nebraska. Bill Snyder, I think, was one of the only guys that did it with that Daniel Thomas at running back, and they had success. Nebraska had a hard time stopping that Daniel Thomas and Kansas State running the ball. But this year, I think, for some reason or another, I think without Sue there, I think coordinators are going to say, let's test them up there in the middle. Because, you know, they lost two supposedly starting linebackers in Will Compton and Sean Fisher, and you got two young guys that are in there, and they've filled in nicely. This one kid, Levante David, he wears number four. He's a playmaker at the linebacker position, and he reminds me of a guy I played with named Terrell Farley, who just had a knack for making plays. And, you know, I think they're kind of these kids that almost are safeties, but they move them up to that middle level, and they let them play linebacker and let them just run and go make plays. And that's what you've seen out of this kid so far, this Levante David. And he looks like he could be something special. But I think for me, the question mark still lies on that front four. I don't know if they have a pure pass rusher at a defensive end position. And I still think that they're a big question mark with the two guys inside.
Well, it certainly will be a great matchup. Nebraska at Washington. And we're quickly running out of time. So let's turn the page. Obviously, the big focus down here in Fort Worth on Saturday is Baylor and TCU. Longtime rivals in the Southwest Conference. What do you think about this particular matchup?
I like it. I mean, I know there's history there going back to the old Southwest Conference, and you know, they used to see them each other every year, I guess. But for myself, I mean, TCU, you don't have to sell me on TCU anymore. I mean, this goes back to last year. I mean, I thought that TCU, you could mention them in the same sentence as the Alabamas and the Floridas and the Georgias. I mean, I just think that highly of Gary Patterson and the players that he's been able to recruit there. So for me, you know, mentioning TCU or carrying a number four ranking, not shocking for me at all anymore. But when you look at Baylor and who they have, I think it all starts with the quarterback position. And Robert Griffin, a guy who I've been fortunate to watch him a couple times in the Big 12. This is a guy who he, I think, has almost that Michael Vick effect. And I remember playing against Vick in the NFL, and he makes defense coordinators not sleep that night for that week. I mean, because you don't know how to contain him. And it's so difficult, especially as a defensive lineman, to just pin your ears back and say, all right, let's go sack this guy. Because he is just looking for that opportunity, for that split second when maybe that defensive tackle gets washed over to the other side of the ball, or that defensive end tries that spin move to come underneath the offensive tackle, and there's that all that real estate, that field all the way to the sideline outside that defensive end, that this quarterback is just waiting for that to happen. And what's he going to do? He's going to tuck that ball, and he's going to be gone. And he's one of these guys that's just so athletic. It's hard to attack him, and you know you have to account for him as a runner. So it's hard to double up on receivers when you have a guy like this who at any moment of the game he could just tuck the ball and go, and even designed pass plays, you know, where you have the secondaries dropping and linebackers are dropping because they're looking for crossing routes, or they're looking for the tight end, or maybe one of the linebackers is manned up on the tight end, so he's got his back to the quarterback, and then all of a sudden, you know, that one of those D tackles gets washed, and boom, this guy is gone, and he's going to hit his head on the goalpost because he's that athletic. He's that much of a game changer. He's exciting. I mean, TCU fans should just—they should be excited just to watch a guy who's this athletic. I know myself as a pure football fan, I was looking forward to watching Robert Griffin come into Memorial Stadium and play. I'd heard so much about this kid, and to see him kind of with your own eyes, it's the same as, you know, in basketball. I mean, you know, for people that were big basketball fans, whenever Jordan would come and play in their hometown, and you get to say, hey, I watched Jordan. You know, I'm not putting a guy like Robert Griffin, obviously, on that level yet, but I think he's a game changer, and he's exciting, and he makes the football games fun. Obviously, it's more fun when your team wins, and I do ultimately think TCU will win this game because I think they're just a better team. From top to bottom, they're a better team. But this kid, he's exciting to watch.
Well, it's remarkable, too, Jason, you know what you're talking about, Robert Griffin, you know, just even how he's recovered so much from the knee surgery because he missed most of last season. We were going to talk about the Sooners, but we are flat out of time. You always bring some compelling stuff. Jason Peter, thank you so much for joining us, and we will catch up with you again next week, and good luck to your Huskers.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.